We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to the Miami Heat Beat Podcast. I'm your host, Giancarlo Navas. And with me today for the very anticipated Battle of Mid 2, my good friend Jason Pat of Clutch Points and Cash Considerations. Jason, welcome back.
We're back. Round two, baby.
Let's go.
Do we really want to be here? No, but we are.
Listen, chat's excited. They're just like, I'm tired, boss. The chat's like, they're so ready for a Heat Bulls preview. This is what it's all about. This is why we watch the game, Jason, because we're going to break down the number 19 offense against the number 21 offense. And it doesn't really matter who's who. It's going to be a slugfest.
Yeah, absolutely. It is. It's only fitting that we're back here. I mean, the Bulls' whole theme like of this season has been continuity. So it's only fitting that They came like two points short of going 40 and 42 again. And now we're back in the eight seed for the eight seed in the battle with Bulls Heat. So it's basically continuity right there. The front office talked about continuity. They promised it. And here we go. We're back here with Bulls Heat for the eight seed again for the second year in a row in South Beach.
They delivered. Jason, people are going to get mad at you. It's downtown Miami. South Beach is a full 15 minutes. No, the people will fight back. And I'm looking out for you because
thank you. Thank you.
Yeah, no, they get very angry. They get unreasonably angry. Max Strus is not walking through that door.
No, he's not.
He's not. DePaul legend, Chicago legend, Max Strus, who's now
Bulls. He was with the Bulls short period of time, and he tore his ACL and obviously went to the Heat and made bank with the Cleveland Cavaliers. So good for him.
About that. People mostly bring up that he was in Boston camp because it was quite funny that he played well against Boston.
Yes.
So, well, fittingly enough, the winner of this gets the number one seed by a mile, Boston Celtics. And Jason, I don't know about you. As a Heat fan, there is a lot of that's a pure hatred series.
Oh yes,
and I gotta keep it real. I don't know if I want to go in without Jimmy and let them be happy at our expense. I don't know how Bulls fans feel because they have had some series in like the early 2010s, you know, 09 and all that stuff. I don't think it's the same for you guys. You guys might. I think the Bulls might be like, a first round series is kind of nice. I could be wrong. I don't know. I'm asking the expert.
I mean I despise Boston and the Celtics. So like for me, like it's fuck Boston, screw them. But of course, like going into that series, I would expect to get just absolutely walloped. Because the Boston Celtics are just so much better. The Heat, I mean, it's just an interesting thing because like if the Heat make it, I mean the Jimmy injury does throw everything off, but like if the Heat did have Jimmy and they beat the Bulls, like people would think the Heat would have a chance against the Celtics. I think the Bulls do beat Miami tomorrow. Everyone's going to say the Celtics are going to absolutely destroy them. I mean, maybe like maybe some people will be like, oh, Coby White, like he had 42 points against the Hawks and he's really fun. And like DeMar, like maybe they can challenge him a little. No, I mean, the Bulls will get absolutely destroyed by the Celtics if they make it. And like, for me, it's like, we've been kind of staring at this path for a long time. Like the Bulls have literally been the nine seed. They were the nine seed for literally like 3 months since like mid-January.
That's kind of funny.
Since mid-January. So like, the Bulls-Hawks matchup was basically set in stone destiny for several months. And then I always figured the Bulls would beat the Hawks, and they sure did. I mean, within 3 minutes of the game last night, I was like, the Bulls are winning this game. The Hawks are awful. They're a joke. Played out as expected. And then I've been following, like, who are they going to play in this, in the second game? And of course, and like a few weeks ago, I was like, oh, it's going to be the Heat again, isn't it? And sure enough, like there was a lot of things that could have happened. And now here we go. It turns out it's the Heat again, without Jimmy this time, without Terry Rozier. So like, ultimately, like the Celtics thing, like again, screw Boston. Like they did. Although the last time a number eight seeded Bulls team faced the top seeded Boston Celtics team was 2017.
Yeah, we got it. Instant classic.
With Jimmy Butler on the Bulls went up 2-0 behind Jimmy, Dwayne Wade, and Rajon Rondo, and then Rajon Rondo broke his hand or thumb or something, and the Bulls lost four straight games, and that was that. They traded Jimmy Butler right after that happened, but like I said, I do not expect it to happen, but if
is there the Bulls anything going on
somehow
there?
Stole way, game one, that'd be hilarious.
Is there like any of that undercurrent? Because like Zach Lowe has talked about it on his pod a lot, and he says like that is a fork in the road moment for Chicago where they make the decision that Jimmy's not good enough and we're going to punt, and I think LaVine is the only surviving member of that trade on Chicago, if I'm correct.
Yeah.
And that's kind of like a fork in the road moment. They decide, and obviously like the trade didn't exactly work out in the way that I think that the organization would have wanted. And here they are, you know, Jimmy's been to two finals and an Eastern and a shot away from another. He's had a lot of success. He was good in Minnesota. I believe they were the three seed until he got hurt. And then they absolutely dipped in the sand. So, I mean, he's had success. Now we're at a point that, Hey, buddy, what you doing down here? I don't know if this is that within the organization or the fan base or kind of on a narrative perspective.
Yeah. I mean, the Jimmy trade, it's been like a point of contention for sure. And like that series, like it would have been interesting what would happen if Rondo didn't get hurt. Like if they somehow won that series, then like kind of throw everything out of whack, because like, I don't even remember who like that year, I think the Celtics went to the conference finals. They'd be like the Wizards, I think, in round two. I mean, that probably would have been a Cavs team that went to the finals in 2017, right? So like, but like if the Bulls would have gone like deeper and they would have won that series, like would they have traded Jimmy? I don't know. And like set everything in motion. The Bulls rebuild, yeah, did not go as planned. Because that was, yeah, Zach, Lowry, Markkanen, and Chris Dunn. Chris Dunn, obviously, he flamed out, although he's kind of resurrected his career kind of with the Jazz. Lowry's has turned into an all-star with the Jazz after going to Cleveland first. And then Zach LaVine is still with the Bulls, barely. He's obviously not
kind of
hurt all
maybe
year.
Who knows.
Yeah, trade rumors, they tried to trade him, nothing happened, no one seems to want him. That's 7 years ago now that Jimmy has been gone, and that was his best season, 2016-2017. That team was miserable to watch, kind of like the last couple of years have kind of been miserable. They went 41-41. But like they came together for those couple games and were really good. And like, I guess that's what this team's trying to do again now, catch lightning in a bottle here and maybe push a top seeded Boston Celtics team. Of course, they got to get through Miami Heat without Jimmy Butler tomorrow.
Well, let's get into the game. So,
yeah.
I think for Chicago, I think for Miami, containing DeMar, containing kind of their guards is going to be the priority.
Yep.
For them, I know that, you know, Chicago has kind of, you know, they're good inside as well. But I think for Miami, the priority is that. And I think it's interesting how their zone has mostly been for Big Ben, right? It's been for Embiid. It's been for Jokic. When it's like devised around their game plan, I think they use it sometimes to contain dribble penetration. And I don't really think Chicago, you correct me if I'm wrong, if they have the speed to warrant that. So I actually imagine that there won't be a lot of zone. I think that Miami, and they've recently switched to a more drop scheme with Bam, and Bam's kind of playing at the level of the pick and roll. Miami's guards have done an admirable, not great job at getting over, and Bam has done a lot. They're obviously their help at the nail and their help on the weak side and, you know, that's all kind of known for an Eric Spoelstra team. So I'm kind of wondering if you're Chicago, what are you looking at if you're trying to like, okay, I am not a good offense and I need to score against an alleged good defense. Where am I finding the soft spots? Is it going at Hero with DeMar? Like, what are you envisioning? Is there a game plan?
Yeah, I mean, DeMar is obviously kind of the main guy. I know you love DeMar DeRozan.
Love DeMar. Love him.
But, I mean, and then also, I mean, just Kobe. We saw, you mentioned the speed stuff. And, like, Kobe and Ayo Dosunmu are both pretty fast and can, like, get out and are quick guys and can get out in transition. But, like, I mean, half court Ayo, not as much. But we did see Kobe. I mean, all caveats, the Atlanta Hawks defense, maybe one of the worst defensive performances I've seen in my life yesterday. Just a complete
masterclass.
Joke.
Masterclass.
Just absolutely terrible. Not stopping anything. No rim protection. I mean, the Bulls scored 72 points in the paint against the Hawks. They put up 131. Easily could have probably gotten 140 if, like, the game was anywhere close. I mean, they were getting open shots, layups, open threes, basically almost every possession. And that was a lot of it was Kobe and Ayo kind of just, like, really putting a lot of pressure. And then DeMar as well. And, of course, you know, DeMar loves mid-range stuff. So I think we're probably going to see a lot of that again. So it will be interesting to see if what defense the Heat, if they do break out the zone or if they don't, they try to play more shit up. Obviously, going to try to stop that dribble penetration, not let Kobe White shoot 12 of 14 or whatever the heck he was like in the paint. I mean, there was one point where Kobe, I think, made his first like 10 shots at the rim yesterday. And like, while some of it, like he had a few circus finishes, but like a lot of it was just, I'm putting my head down, I'm driving right past some non-existent defense and then finishing. That's all what a lot of it was. I would assume the Heat are not going to allow that kind of thing to happen that easily again. Like if Kobe does it, like more power to him. But I don't think he's going to go shoot 15 of 21, score 42 points and do all that. So like, would guess we'll see a bit more. Was DeMar kind of got things rolling against the Hawks, then kind of turned it over to Kobe. And again, Kobe and Ayo just started just driving through them. It will be interesting, the Vooch aspect. If they are playing drop with Bam, like leaving Vooch open for threes. Vooch has been a brutal three-point shooter this year. He was 1 of 6 yesterday, missing just terribly. I'm assuming the Heat are going to be more than happy to just, yeah, you drop Bam, let Vooch space out, take some jumpers, and if like he makes them, well, I guess you got to take
They'll play at the level and contest. That used to be a switch for them. I mean, that last year and then in the last play-in, that was a switch. And Vooch can shoot over, and they were kind of living with whatever that was. You mentioned DeMar. And I actually think that Miami's defense is going to be interesting to configure without Jimmy because who's going to start? I think Hayward Highsmith makes sense for them in that matchup because he's a guy that can guard DeMar. And if I were Eric Spoelstra, that would be, you know, you could do Hawkes, who played very, very well, who I don't know if, you know, Hawkes had really struggled after his groin injury. He got hurt. He was really just not good since he came back from it. Has found a little bit of life the last few regular season games. And then, of course, yesterday against Philly, probably one of three players that could say, I played well. He could be happy with his performance. So Hawkins is certainly a guy, but I think Hayward Highsmith makes sense because you could put him on DeMar and you could put Caleb on a guy like Kobe White and mercifully spare Tyler Hero from that assignment. And then you have Bam in a drop, obviously on Vooch, and then you kind of just go from there. It does make Miami a little small. And I don't know how you feel if Chicago's going to
attack. I mean, the Bulls have no size. They got Vooch, they got Drummond, but like they're going to be if Caruso,
and they don't
Alex
play
Caruso
together
plays,
a lot, do they?
What's that?
They don't play together. Yeah.
They, I mean, Billy's gone to it occasionally, but I feel like he usually does it against like other big lineups. Like he did it against the Cavs a few times when they have like Allen and Mobley out there. So like there were like a or like some desperation situations he's gone with, but I would doubt he plays both those guys against a smaller Heat lineup. I mean, the starting lineup right now, like if Caruso plays, the starting lineup last night was basically four guards or three guards and DeMar, whatever you consider DeMar at this point, and then Vooch. So like, it's probably going to be a lot of really small. They're like Javonte Green is getting the minutes at like the backup power forward. He's 6'4", 6'5". Like Torrey Craig didn't play that much. Patrick Williams is obviously hurt. Obviously Drummond's the backup center. So like they got centers, but like in terms of like big wings or like power forwards, that's really nothing. It's really nothing there. So it's
kind
of
been their
guys
issue. I mean, DeMar's played a lot of four for them.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's kind of been their best option. I actually felt bad for them. The last healthy Lonzo year. Cause I'm sorry. Was Lonzo? Yeah. Cause they just didn't have enough defensively, you know, they didn't have enough size because they had the guards were fantastic. But
I mean, it's been the same thing. They really have never had much size. Like Patrick Williams was the starting four, and then I mean they were a few years ago, I think they, or even last year, they, when Patrick Williams got hurt, like Javonte Green was a couple years ago. Javonte Green was their starting power forward. Again, he's like 6'4", 6'5", very athletic. He's bouncy and all that, but he's still short. So like
that kind
of
like,
really just never, they have not had size on the wing in the last couple of years. Like it's kind of been the thing is the roster has barely changed.
It kind of makes it interesting because then like, what do you do if you're Miami with Jovic, who is very green? And I thought against Philly yesterday kind of became a target for them, and I think that Chicago could go at him as a soft spot. I don't know where you put him against DeMar and just put size on him. I just think that DeMar's just gonna
bad idea.
I actually don't think it's a great defensive matchup for him. They could put him on Vucevic, and you could put, but that's, now you're getting too complicated with where you're putting Bam.
So I mean, if Caruso, you probably just put him on Caruso, I guess, and kind of roam. Caruso has improved so much as a shooter. Yeah. He's over 40% this year, and like he is pretty dangerous out there now. But it seems like it because he said after the game yesterday. So what happened was Andre Drummond basically just ran into him at center court. If you didn't see, basically just ran him over. Like he was running down the court.
It's kind of funny.
Literally runs him over and stepped on his, I think his like left foot or his right foot. He stepped on one of his feet, and then like his other ankle, which had already been injured, was the one that got hurt. It came out the last night that Woj reported it's a significant injury. But then Caruso says after the game, it's really not that bad. Like I might be able to play. Woj says today that, it's optimism and trending towards him possibly playing. So I would bet that Caruso tries to play, whether he actually is able to do it much or is effective. He probably will not be that effective, but I would bet he tries to give it a go and at least give something, whether who knows how much that is though.
So people in chat have asked, like, is Jimmy out for 4 weeks? I probably should have opened the show with this, but I also forget that people are not chronically online like us. So I just assume that people, I did not do my job as a podcast host. Jimmy Butler got an MRI today, and he has a sprained MCL, and he's going to be out a while, a minimum 4 weeks. So have a great summer, Jimmy Butler. They're hoping that there's not more. That's what I heard. And I'm paraphrasing Greg Sylvander of Five Reasons, who had that report today. So, you know, hopefully Jimmy gets well soon, but just for the audience that might not be, again, chronically online, because it's, you know, Jason, it's always weird. Like I'll meet people and I'm like, do I follow you on Twitter? They're like, no, I'm not on Twitter. And I was like, how did you, okay, did you find cool. Me?
Yeah.
Yeah. I was like, oh, you know, you too. I just searched and I was like, oh, crazy. Sweet. What a world.
About the Jimmy injury, it was very funny though. Like it got reported this morning from Shams and Woj that he's got a sprained MCL, like he's gonna miss weeks. And then like his agent comes out an hour later or like minutes later. I remember the exact timeline. I was like, oh, we don't actually know what's going on here. Like the MRI hasn't been done yet. Who knows? Like, guys, come on, stop trying to spin this. Like, he's obviously out.
Isola. Why you give it a Frank Isola, dude? Come on. That's the enemy. Yeah, you don't like us. Bernie Lee. Bernie Lee's a character. I'll say that.
He is.
You guys are familiar. Bernie Lee's a lot of fun. So Jimmy, So Jimmy's out. That was reported by Ira, Five Reasons, and Woj and Shams. So he's not gonna be available. So that's kind of where offensively for Miami, Jason, I think it's gonna be fun because Chicago is not the greatest defense in the league. I believe they're 17th.
They were not good.
They were 22nd.
Their defense was elite in the clutch. So if it's a close game down the stretch, I'm assuming Miami won't be able to score. But the Bulls' clutch defense was 95 points per 100 possessions allowed. It's absolutely insane. The Bulls defense, not good. I mean, they have guys.
Is it because of all the switching? I imagine they just like switch everything.
They give up a ton of three-pointers because Vooch is obviously not good. Can't protect the rim, can't really move that well. So like the way they play defense, they gave up the most three-pointers attempts per game in the league. And like, which did not hurt the
And the most
Hawks.
Mid-range, which tells me that he's just sinking in the drop.
Yeah,
and
they did. They give up. They don't give up many points at the rim. I can't remember the exact stats, but they don't give up that many points in the paint, but
they're 12.
They give up a ton of open attempts at threes. The rim. Yeah. Ton of open three-pointers because that's how they are trying to like not just give up like free layups with Vooch and like to not get destroyed in pick and roll, but they give up a ton of open three-pointers, and the Hawks did not take advantage of that. I think the Hawks only took like 33 threes. Like the Hawks needed to get up like 40 plus threes yesterday to have a chance in that game, given how bad their defense is. They did not. They were taking a ton of mid-range shots, so like even early in the game. The Hawks are just so bad. They're embarrassing performance yesterday. But yeah, so like the Bulls defense is not good, but they have some good pieces, obviously. Well, Caruso, we will see. I would assume like if he does play, like he'll probably get a lot of Tyler Hero.
He's going to be the only legitimate creator on the team.
Yeah, right.
Especially with Rozier right.
And
out
then like Io can play, is a pretty solid perimeter defender one-on-one as well. So like they have a couple good perimeter defenders. They can wreak some havoc. Javonte Green as well a little bit, but obviously like DeMar, he's not a good defensive player. I mentioned Vooch is bad. And Coby White has gotten better, but he's certainly not good. So like he's a guy you can attack as well. Like, and that's a big, not having Jimmy there is definitely,
I was about to say
bummer that. For there, because I know in like the regular season games, they were making sure to attack and get Jimmy onto Coby White in the post. He would just overpower him. Kobe's just not big enough, and you can take advantage of that matchup with Jimmy not there. Yeah, I mean, I know it's going to be a lot of Tyler Hero. I am curious, is Duncan Robinson actually going to play? He was available against the Sixers, did not play. I feel like if the Heat are going to win this game, they're going to need like a 7 three-pointer game from Duncan Robinson.
He's probable.
He is probable.
He's okay, downgraded from available to probable.
Okay, still, like, yeah. Was it a back injury for him?
It's some weird back thing that I'd never heard of that I asked my best friend who's a physical therapist. And I'm like, what is this? And he goes, that's crazy. And I go, what does that mean? He goes, you don't see that every day. And I'm just like, what? So
that doesn't sound good.
That's not looking good. I don't know. And then Rozier has a neck that to this, Jason, I don't know how that happened. I watch it cover all the games. And I'm like, what the fuck did that happen?
Like, I certainly don't watch like every Heat or like many Heat games other than like whatever on national TV or when they play the Bulls. And like, I feel like I saw like, oh, like Terry Rozier's like all of a sudden like missing all these games. Like, totally missed like when that happened, like what's going on here. And I just kept like assuming, oh, like he'll be, maybe they're just like holding him out. Like, they're being safe, and then he'll be back for these games. And that, no, he just didn't play last night. He's already been ruled out for tomorrow night. It's like, wait, what is happening here? Yeah, so without Jimmy, without Rozier, like that is just, just brutal in terms of, the shot creation. Like, are we going to, I mentioned Duncan, like, are we going to see, is he going to be able to play with this weird back injury? Like, if he can't go, like, Bam going to have to try to do a lot of offensive creation himself? Like, Hakez, like, he's going to have to do a lot too. Like, I'm pretty confident the Bulls winning this game, although I was last year too.
That's crazy. Yeah, you were.
But like, I just don't see how the Heat are going to score. Like, the Bulls defense is not good, and Spo is a magician. And I know like there is certainly a world here where the Bulls just can't score against the Heat's defense, and maybe the Heat hit a bunch of threes. But like, if it's a close game down the stretch, I just don't know how they're going to score in the half court like effectively. I mean, they're bad enough like in the half court when they have Jimmy and Rozier. It's ugly, and like now without them, like it's either like they're gonna need, again, they're gonna need Duncan to like play and hit a bunch of threes, or like Tyler Hero is gonna have to have the best game of his life. If it's a close game, like I just trust DeMar and Kobe so much more over the Heat options that they have right now.
What's up, guys? It's Pablo the intern here, and I know I'm interrupting your podcast, but we have to talk about the company Unified Healing that is sponsoring today's episode. You may be wondering, what is the Unified Healing? Well, I'm about to tell you. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System for short. This technology is perfect whenever you're tired, you need some relaxation, or you just want to feel good. G and I already had the pleasure of visiting one of the centers here in Miami, and my God, it was amazing. Interested in experiencing the EE system technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/heatbeat to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/heatbeat. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment, and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE system.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
If you're a basketball junkie, then you know there's no better time of year than the NBA playoffs. Twice a week, JJ Redick is cooking on his podcast, The Old Man and the Three. He has guys come on in all stages of their careers to talk about the league and share stories you won't hear anywhere else, including Devin Booker on why he talks so much trash, Ray Allen's epic free throw competitions with LeBron in Miami, and the moment Tyrese Halliburton knew Pascal Siakam would be a good fit in Indy. In addition to player interviews, every Monday, JJ breaks down the top three things happening around the NBA with unmatched analysis, not outlandish takes, and is often joined by masterminds of the game like Tim Legler to dive deep on rookie reports, trade breakdowns, and why is mean mugging now a tech? You won't find another outlet that covers the game as comprehensively and with such insight as JJ does it on The Old Man and the Three. Make this your companion podcast during the playoffs. Listen to The Old Man and the Three ad-free on Wondery Plus or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's not even like Duncan's shooting. I mean, really, his playmaking has been what has kind of kept Miami afloat in some of those. I mean, he's become arguably their third best ball handler behind Jimmy and Rozier, and I guess Tyler, right? So yeah. I mean, he'd be the fourth. But I trust Duncan as a passer a lot more than maybe not a lot more, but about the same as Tyler, which is a crazy development.
It is, yeah.
For a guy that was like Steve Novak but mobile,
right?
And now he could dribble and he runs pick and roll. He's their most efficient pick and roll player as a ball handler on the team. Kind of that little pocket pass off the slip when they send the second man on the screen. I mean, he's great in any hammer set that they run. He's the guy, the relocation, all that stuff. Screening in Spain, being the ball handler in Spain, which is just like, I'm like, whoa, what a world. So he has been, it's been a brutal, I would argue that Duncan hurts them more than Rozier being out. It's not a popular take. I'm not the biggest Rozier fan in the world, but I understand kind of Rozier's purpose. So I agree with you. I think it's going to be tough for Miami to find offense because they're small and the Bulls are small. And I think that simplifies a lot of their defense. It's just switch everything. We don't have to worry about being punished by a guy like Jimmy. I think Jovic could find some baskets because he's kind of the tall guy amongst the short guys. But I just don't really know how he might survive defensively. And of course there's Bam, and Bam just struggles when dudes are big and lumbering like Vooch. Even though Vooch is not like this great defender in space, I just think like if you're going to put Bam facing up on the mid block and you want him that one dribble away, like if Vooch is giving him space to like meet him after that one dribble, I mean, Bam has to be ready to let that jump shot fling. And I have not been a super believer in his mid-range shot. And I know, again, we went over the Bulls give up the most in the league. So this is, there's the path would be, this is the Bam jumper game. He's shooting 44% via dunks and threes on those mid-range looks. So Jason, I kind of lean to you, except for some fucking reason, when everybody's hurt, this team just does weird shit. They go into Cleveland that was healthy without Jimmy or Bam, and they like win by 20. They just do weird stuff when they're not healthy. And part of that was Kyle Lowry, who's not here anymore.
Yeah. And I know you actually love Kyle Lowry.
I actually love Kyle. And it was, you know, Jason, it was so annoying because Heat fans wanted to burn him at the stake. I have never seen a Heat player that disliked other than Hassan Whiteside. Hassan Whiteside and Kyle Lowry were the two most disliked Heat players I've ever seen. And that to me is insane. And Sixer fans weren't complaining about his stat line. They're like, man, he played really hard. Look at that. And Heat fans are like, I hate him. So it was really, and then it was annoying to see Heat fans be like, oh, we could really use a guy like that on our team. And I was like, I don't want to fucking hear from any of you people. I don't want to hear from you guys. I don't want to hear from fucking Brian Torporek. I don't want to hear from any of you people. Just leave me alone. Love you, Brian. So if there's a battleground that you think that Chicago has to win this game, it could be something nebulous like, oh, you know, win the rebounding battle, or it could be like they need to win this matchup or some sort of statistical thing. Where do you think? Because if I'm Miami, we might have the same answer because I think you kind of alluded to it. I just think that they need to hit a lot of pull-ups, including threes and those mid-range shots.
Tyler Hero can't go 9 of 27 like he did against the Sixers.
Do you know that 9 of 27 is the date of the Dame trade?
Oh, I did not.
Somebody goes, this season's cursed. Just like,
wow.
Yeah. I was like, pack it up, boys. Pack it up.
Yeah, so like if the Heat hit a bunch of threes, I think that probably would be their path to stealing this game without Jimmy and without Rozier, and we'll see about Duncan. For the Bulls, like I guess like last year, looking at like how they what happened in their play, like the Raptors game, we saw them have a big comeback. We saw Zach LaVine have like maybe the best game of his career, had like 30 some points, led the comeback. Again, they did not need a comeback against the Hawks, but Kobe White, best game of his career, 42 points against the Heat. Zach followed up that career game against the Raptors with one of the worst games of his career and was awful. Could Kobe White have another huge game? I think will be a big one. I think DeMar will probably get his just because he's kind of done it all year. Like, again, we'll see what the Heat do in terms of are they going to run at him? Or are they going to make him have him give the ball up? So I think if like DeMar will probably get enough of his. But like if Kobe White comes out and if they do run it and they make Kobe White beat them or something like that, if he has another huge game, like I think just like that combo will probably be too much for the Heat. But if he doesn't, if he comes out and lays an egg like Zach did against the Heat last year, like
I think
the Heat will have a very good chance to steal this game if they just like don't, if DeMar doesn't get enough help. Like, again, because otherwise, like you're looking at it's Vooch, like is Vooch gonna have like a huge game against Bam? Like, I doubt it. Like, again, unless he's hitting jumpers. For whatever reason, but Vooch is
or rebounding
been,
or just having a big like offensive glass.
Offensive rebounding. The Bulls have been a much better offensive rebounding team. Vooch and then Drummond, of course. And Drummond was, I believe that's, I was trying to remember this last night. I think Drummond was having like a really strong game in the play-in last year against the Heat. And then I think Billy pulled him and went back to Vooch. And a lot of people were, Bulls fans were not happy with that. Obviously did not work out in the Bulls' favor. And that might have happened with Kobe, too, and I cannot remember how exactly that game. I just know that Jimmy and Max just took over at the end, and Zach was terrible. But, yeah, so, like, yeah, if Vooch and Drummond can make some hay on the offensive glass, and if Kobe White follows up his big game with another big game, like, I just don't know if the Heat will have enough, unless, again, they hit a million three-pointers. And then if we get into clutch time, the Bulls have been an elite – historic outlier elite clutch team, and like again, that doesn't necessarily, that's some of that's just fluky luck, but like DeMar is legitimately been a great clutch player for a long time now, and like I would just trust him and then trust Kobe just way more in a clutch game down the stretch than what the Heat have available right now.
Tyler Stock's at an all-time low. The way I can see the Vooch impact happening would be DeMar, because I just don't think Miami's just going to double DeMar like that. I think, you know, if it becomes a problem, you know, then they'll make it hard. They might even front, which is just funny to do against a guy like DeMar. But they might front, or they, you know, if he's bothering them in the post on a smaller guy or whatever, they'll make that hard, or they'll run zone. And again, so Miami configures their zone kind of, they have put size up top, but Bam at the bottom. That's how they do it now. So they'll make that pass difficult in the middle of the zone, and they kind of play like a matchup to then kind of zony, so they'll always match up, and then they'll zone up, so they'll send that help and they'll force him to be a passer, which he's a much better playmaker, which is kind of like my big knock on him in Toronto. He's a much improved passer. So I think rebounding off of that zone, I think, becomes difficult, especially if Bam is the one that kind of comes to help when he sets up shop, kind of that mid post. That's where I could see Vooch making an impact on the glass, because it just becomes difficult. So I think agree with you. A lot of kind of their success is going to come down to, like, is DeMar operating in a way that is going to force Miami to make an adjustment to kind of control that, especially without Jimmy, who's their best help defender.
Yep.
I think he's their best guy in the passing lane. He's the best guy at the nail. So it's going to be tough. Jason, I'm gonna be real with the audience. I don't want them to win tomorrow. I'm gonna go on record. I don't want them to lose to Boston. I can't take that. My heart can't take that. I cannot be on Twitter and take that. I just can't. I'm too online. And chat. Somebody in chat, Codaverse, says I'm with you. Thank you. I gotta be honest with you. Just end it. Just let Jimmy get healthy. I want a vacation. I don't want to do this anymore. If they win, we'll move, I guess. But you know, hopefully. I don't want to say hopefully. I don't like rooting against them, but it just kind of is what it is, man.
I mean, that's how I am with the Bulls. Like, coming into this, like, I there's a small part of me that wanted them, that would have been, like, totally fine with them losing to the Hawks and getting embarrassed, because it's just, like, the way their front office is operated, like, they and they're certainly going to treat, like, last night's game as, like, a huge, like, oh, man, like, this is, like, we like, Coby White had this huge game, like, huge, like, minute, like, whatever, opportunity for him in an elimination game. Like, we need to keep this kind of moving forward. Like, they're going to give DeMar like a huge contract. And they're just going to keep this. I mean, the Bulls front office has literally like not made an actual trade of a player in like 3 years. They've done almost next to nothing.
You know, that was kind of heat too for a while.
Yeah. I mean, the continuity thing, they've taken it to like a crazy degree, despite since Lonzo getting hurt, they've been a mediocre team at best. But like, whatever, the AK comes out every trade deadline where he doesn't do anything and says, you know, like, whatever, like, you know, we compete with all these teams. Like, we win some of these. We can beat good teams. Like, every team does that, unless you're like the absolute
Miami
worst
did
teams
it
in the league. Yeah, like, and then I think also like, oh, you'll see like whatever, the Miami Heat. They went from the eighth seed and they went to the finals last year. Like, so as long as we get in the play-in, like, or and have a chance there, like, it's, we're totally fine. So if they would have lost the Hawks like an embarrassing fashion, maybe they would have actually tried to pivot in a different direction. Again, I think now that they've won this game, and like I said, I do think they're going to win tomorrow. That they make the playoffs, no matter what happens, they can go get smoked by Boston in four games. They're probably going to be fine with, hey, like, we started 5-14, but we rebounded and we made it through the play-in tournament. We made the playoffs. Like, we're all good. DeMar, here's $100 million.
No way.
I'm telling you, man, they're going to give him like a 3-year, like $90 million deal. It's happening. It's happening. You watch. Maybe not that much, but like, I've resigned myself. And like, I know you're not a DeMar guy. Like, DeMar like has outplayed his contract.
I agree. Like, I'm a hater, but I have eyes.
Yeah. Like, he has been like so much better for the Bulls than I ever imagined he would have been. And he's earned another big contract. I just don't want it to come from the Bulls. Like, as good as he's been, like, it's just another, just like, just not going. You're just kind of keeping the status quo that just hasn't been good enough. And beating the Hawks, a terrible Hawks team who was 10 games under, they lost the last six games of the year, and then beating a Miami Heat team without Jimmy Butler, without Terry Rozier, like, that just doesn't, like, those two things shouldn't, like, be influencing, like, your long-term decision-making, and it probably will. Like, hey, we made it through the play-in. Again, we made the playoffs. We made it further than we did last year. We are heading in the right direction. And while, like, some individual parts are, like, Coby White, awesome. I mean, he could win Most Improved Player this year. Just a huge step forward for him. Like, Io as well, he's gotten a lot better. And yeah, I mean, he had a game this year against the Heat where he missed like two shots and scored like 30 points. Like, he's had some really good games in the last couple months. It's been awesome. Like, there's been some nice individual stuff in the Bulls, but like, as a team, they just have not been good enough. They've been super mediocre. Even with all their clutch stuff this year, they still went 39-43. And so if you're just gonna run it back again, like, they're probably just gonna have the same record. Maybe they trade Zach. They're probably just gonna have the same record again, and just, you're not going anywhere. And like, winning two games here in fluky one elimination games against a bad team, against mediocre teams, and a Heat team missing Jimmy, like, it just doesn't mean that much. So, like, I mean, I guess tomorrow I do want them to win, because I was coming into this, I was like, you either need to lose to the Hawks or you need to get through. You got to get the Heat out of here and just give me some games against the Celtics. Maybe they put a scare into them, because like, losing to the Heat again would just be like,
yeah,
I mean, what are we doing here? Like, this is just brutal.
Running it back, baby.
Especially if they lose to them without Jimmy. It's just like, maybe that would be embarrassing enough if they do lose tomorrow. I mean, I know the Heat, are they still favorites? I saw they opened at like -1.5. And like,
I mean, they're at home too, so I imagine that they're going
to. Yeah, so like, I don't know. Like, but so, I don't know. I think we're both kind of in spots where it's kind of like, throw your hands up. Like, it seems like you even more than me at this point, but like,
Heat are -2 right now.
Two now.
Yeah.
Wow. Interesting. I think I had saw it at 1 or 1.5. So that's money coming in on the Heat. That's
some books like Caesars has it at 1.5.
Okay, so maybe that's. I think I put money on the Bulls. And I
FanDuel
think I got
has it 1.5. Where is this 2 coming from then? I don't know. Yeah. Well, yeah. Oh no. I guess it opened at 2.5.
Okay. So yeah. Either way, like whatever. So yeah, we'll see. Like, but yeah, Bulls. If the Bulls come out, I mean, again, I would not. I think I am very confident in the Bulls winning. Again, I said this last year. They blew it. I feel even more confident now with Jimmy out. Jimmy's awesome. I love Jimmy. And just like not having him there and just what I've seen from the Heat and their disgusting offense this year, I can't get behind it. But like the Bulls have lost their share. I mean, they're 30. They went 39-43. They're not good. They've lost their share of terrible games too. So would it surprise me if they came out and like laid an egg and the Heat just like lock them up? Hit like 15 threes and win. Like, no, again, I am guaranteeing
probably
a Bulls
so
win,
annoying.
But would it surprise me if that happens and the Heat pull their magic out again and go and get and win this game? Like, no, it would not.
I gotta be honest, Jason. I unfortunately don't see a universe where they lose tomorrow, and that upsets me. I just think they just do this bullshit all the time, and it bothers me because they're not good, but their defense is good, and they'll do just enough to squeak by. And I don't know, there's an annoying hero. I hope I'm wrong. And I know that this is not what you want to hear, Heat fans. I'm sorry. I'm not going to lie to you. I've not lied to you in the 11 years that I've done this. I haven't lied to you once. It's just life. So I don't know.
It would be very funny and ironic if the Bulls do like play whatever. It's a clutch game and they just like choke on it in the clutch like again for the second straight year after being – they were brutal all year in the clutch last year. It's so funny. Like 2 years ago when they first put this team together – elite clutch team, DeMar like did all this stuff last year. It, awful in the clutch, and they melted down in the clutch against the Heat, and the Heat took over and won that game. And now this year, they've been probably like the second best clutch team behind, I think, like only the Nuggets. So it would be very funny if they come out and they just like melted down in a clutch game against a Heat team without Jimmy Butler. And that's how their season ended. It would be too funny. It would probably be very on brand for this mediocre the Bulls basketball that has been going on for a long time. And again, would I care? Would I be upset? No, not really. Because if they lose, it's like, yeah, the prize for winning this game is going and getting your just shit stuffed in by the Boston Celtics. So like, it's either ending now, it's either ending tomorrow or in a week and a half, 2 weeks, unless like both Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown like tear their ACLs. Even then, like a team with Porzingis and Drew Holiday and Derek White might still beat the Bulls. So.
That'd be funny.
Yeah.
Well, Jason, I've enjoyed the preview of the Battle of Mid. Tell people where they can find you, your great work.
Yeah. You can follow, first of all, the podcast, part of the Blue Wire Network, Cash Considerations.
Families.
Yes, absolutely. Blue Wire Network family. Love it. Cash Considerations, a Chicago Bulls podcast. Me and my guy, Ricky O'Donnell. That's where the pod is. If you ever have any interest in listening to us talk about Bulls basketball, I'm not really sure why you would, but in case you did, and we're going to be talking about the game tomorrow night for sure. Got the podcast there. You can follow me on Twitter at Bulls_J. We'll be tweeting about the game tomorrow. And then also just check out clutchpoints.com. I don't really do work there anymore, but I work there. So go check it out. Give us those page views.
Yeah, there you go. Give that up. We will be live tomorrow with another MHB post-game show with I can't even promise a level of enthusiasm, but if they lose, I'll be enthused. If not, we'll see. by the way, I want to give a quick shout out to Ryan Spavero in chat. Resubscribe with Prime at 27 months. That's over 2 years, baby. Appreciate all the love and support. He says it's nice to be back to disliking Kyle without feeling bad about it or defending him. Cheers, G. Yeah, it's exactly what I want to hear, but you paid, so I read it. Jason, thank you so much for joining us. And yeah, guys, I guess I'll see you tomorrow. Peace.
Always a pleasure, man. 2 years in a row. Here we go.
2 years, baby. We're so back.